Welcome into episode 165 of Keith and his Craft Collective. I'm Louise, you might hear Booker woofing, and today I've got a blether with clock. What's a crack? Coming up, shoppy section, and a me section. I nearly forgot about the me. So get your cup of tea or your dram, I'll let you know what crack is in Keithness this week. So how are you doing, listeners? As you older listeners, well, you might not actually be older, you longer time listeners have realised, yes, I'm using my phone again. I'm going to see, hopefully, that the sound volume is okay on this. I've been fiddling on with it. But as it is, the parents-in-law are coming up this weekend, so I don't actually have an awful lot of time to edit some things, but I still wanted to have a chat with you and see how you're doing. Because obviously I know that you miss me if I wasn't here. Reality is I've got a schedule to keep, so therefore I shall keep it. I was actually going to leave this until Monday, and then I remembered that the bairns have 2 days off, or three even, I'm not actually sure. I better find out. So I thought, well, I'll get no peace on Monday either. I know. I'll do some notes, some good notes, and I'll talk to you on the phone. But I'm going to check to see that the sound quality is reasonable before I do post this. Hopefully everything will be fine. So how are you doing? Thank you for all your comments on the last episode. I heard from quite a few of you, and pretty much actually everybody was very happy and delighted. I mean, I'm sure there's some, because I know that some left. But they didn't come out and say anything bad. I knew you were all kindred spirits anyway. So, fantastic. We shall carry on regardless, as they say. So, where's my division music? The blether. Clock. Now, when I was in hospital at the start of January, and this isn't going to turn into, when I was in America, it's just something that occurred to me when I was there, and I thought, well, that's going to make a good blather. And this is the sort of time I've got to do it, got round to doing it. In Ward A, 4A, room 1, they had a clock on the wall. This is the room I was in for a while. And the first night I was there, I couldn't sleep, and I thought, well, you're really quite a good clock to stare at and watch every hour on you as we go through the night. Halfway through the night, they actually moved me onto ward, so I didn't see every hour on that clock, but I did see every hour on a clock. And it got me to thinking, that's a strong looking clock. It had a black round rim and black ticky-tocky hands that went round its ticky-tocky face. And I put it on Facebook and said, yeah, this is my clock, that tonight I shall see every hour on this. And it's a good strong clock with its ticky-tocky ways. And I think I must have hit a chord. Either that, I was full on septicemia at the time. But well, I wasn't actually quite full on septicemia, but I don't think I was quite all there with all the drugs and the pain. And I got lots and lots of replies from my Facebook friends and family with lots of interesting clocks. I'm sure there was a Salvador Dali one in there as well. And we had good fun talking about clocks. And now everybody on Facebook thinks I have a thing about clocks. Whereas I don't. But well, I didn't before. And I don't actually have a clock in the sitting room because the tick, tock, tick gets my nerves too much. Sandy has one in his room, and when people come to stay, the clock gets thrown out the room, but it lulls him to sleep. So we're all a bit, we get used to our own ticky-tocky clock. But it made me think how strong this clock looked, and how strong I needed to be, and also about the march of time. And remember last episode, I was talking about a bit of Huckleberry Finn by Mark Twain. Well, thank you, Marta Pauline, who reminded me that Mark Twain, or Samuel Clements, as his non-pain name was a satirical writer. And it was quite good because I read it out and Sandy says, what's satirical? So we made him look it up. and it reminded me of what actually it was. Because I like a lot of satirical comedy, but to actually describe a lot of these words, sometimes I have to say I struggle. But it reminded me of a passage out of Tom Sawyer near the end. This is where Injun Joe had been stuck in the cave. It's a little bit long, so just hold on. So Injun Joe could not have squeezed his body under the door, and he knew it. So he only had hacked that place in order to be doing something, in order to pass the weary time, in order to employ his tortured faculties. Ordinarily, one would find half a dozen bits of candle stuck around in the crevices of the vestibule, left by tourists, but there were none now. The prisoner had searched them out and eaten them. He'd also contrived to catch a few bats, and these also he had eaten, leaving only their claws. Oh, sorry if they were eaten there, sorry. The poor unfortunate had starved to death. In one place near at hand, a stalagmite had been slowly growing up from the ground for ages, builded by the water drip from a stalactite overhead. The captive had broken off the stalagmite, and upon the stump had placed a stone whereon he had scooped a shallow hollow to catch the precious drop that fell once in every 20 minutes with the dreary regularity of a clock tick. A dessert spoonful once in 24 hours. That drop was falling when the pyramids were new, when Troy fell, when the foundations of Rome were laid, when Christ was crucified, when the Conqueror created the British Empire, when Columbus sailed, and when the massacre at Lexington was news. It is falling now, and it will be falling still when all these things shall have sunk down in the afternoon of history in the twilight of tradition, and had been swallowed up in the thick night of oblivion. Has everything a purpose and a mission? Did this drop fall patiently during 5,000 years to be ready for this flitting human insect's need? And has it another important object to accomplish 10,000 years to come? No matter. It is many and many a year since the hapless have been scooped out the stone to catch the priceless drops, but to this day the tourist stares longest at that pathetic stone, that slow drop in water, when he comes to seize the wonders of MacDougall's cave. Injun Joe's cup stands first in the list of the cavern's marvels. Even Aladdin's palace cannot rival it. I remember when I first read that to Sandy. I mean, I know I read this at school, and that was quite a long time ago now, but I remember reading it and just being blown away by the writing and that, thinking about this drip, drip, drip of the stalagmite and stalactite, and how he referred it back to this clock and time. So it kind of kicked into this blather. We have a body clock of, oh, you must be hungry time, and it keeps us going for when we need our sustenance and our drinking, for when we need our cups of tea. We also have a body clock if you're of an age, or sometimes your body clock kicks in and you're desperate that you need to reproduce. Some people listen to this, some people don't. It's not up to us to decide if it's right or wrong for them. But I listen to mine. And then we have the daisy clock. The daisy means day's eye, and it follows the sun throughout the day. So the daisy will open its flowers or its petals in the morning and follow through until night time. We have the clock face. And a clock face can be like the Big Ben clever clock tower in London. It could be your little watch that you've got in your hand there. My Acuras that I got for my 21st is here and I love it. It's blue. And I've noticed that recently it's slowing down. I think the battery's running out again. And sometimes we have the face of a garment. What do I mean by that? Well, the front. When you think about the clock, you think it's looking towards you. The face is looking towards you. The face of a garment, it's generally the front. And then I thought, well, why do we normally start on the back? Is it just because it's the biggest part? Or do you start on the back automatically? Or do you start in a sleeve? I think a lot of the patterns used to be you do the back first, so therefore you can attach the front, because often the fronts are two sides and you need to measure them against the back to make sure that it fits. Sometimes you can't face the face of the garment because you've made a mistake and you need to rip it out. And sometimes you think, no, I can face that today. I'm going to do that. But when we face something, we seem to take it on, head on. And we don't need to be two-faced about things, do we? There is an expression of clocking someone or something. I'm sitting upstairs today because I've been doing some sewing before I have to do the housework before the parent-in-law come. But I'm sewing and watching the birds flying around, and there was a buzzard hunting, and also there was a kestrel hunting, and I managed to get a photograph of the kestrel, and I clocked the kestrel. I don't know whether it's an expression with you, but it's an expression with some here where you clock somebody. I think it's you see their face and you see them. So you might not just be seeing somebody, you know, you might just be seeing birdies, which there's a whole pile of, well, that's not the collective term for them, but I'm watching the jackdaws now. They're all sitting on a fence post each. But it must be a good mousing day because the kestrel was out and the buzzard was out. So ticky-tocky ways. Whatever you're doing today, I hope that your time is precious to you. You have got it all marked out and your clock is a strong one. I've got a notebook today instead of doing it on the computer. What's a crack? I've got a couple of new publications for you to know about. And the first one is called Heart on My Sleeve by Tin Can Knits. It came out for Valentine's Day and it's an ebook for £18 through Ravelry, and it's to raise money for the Against Malaria Foundation. And there are various designers and various designs that are to raise money for this very, very worthy cause. So if you feel like you could, do go there. And also, the very lovely Jean Arnold Culliford has out a new book called A Year of Techniques, and this features Jane herself, and she has quite a few different designers on the go with this, some of which are Bristol Ivy, Martina Behm, Rachel Coopy, Tin Can Knits, Woolly Wormhead, the list does go on. It is $19.99 for the hard copy, but that's not coming out until September. There's going to be 12 patterns, and this is going to be spread throughout the year. So if you pay your $19.99 just now, you're going to get your I've just clocked a fancy red car going past. Cool. We sometimes get a lot of fancy little cars on the North Coast 500. So they've started again because it's still off season, but it's a lovely day to be driving around. Sorry, I digress. So you pay your $19.99 and you are going to get your digital pattern, and there's also video tutorials, and this is just an amazing resource that Jane has thought up. You could also have £50 and you get your yarn for it too. So that's at acknitter.co.uk, and I will put that couple of links in the show notes. Although the show notes will be later because I'm doing this on my phone and means I've got to get to the computer. But there's a couple of cool things for you to know about. Coming up, well, we know about the ICHF Hobbycraft Fair at Glasgow at the SECC, and that is from the 4th, no, it's from the 2nd to the 5th of March. Mother is going without me. Yes, I did sniff. I sniffed in indignation. And I hope that if you do go, you'll have fun. Ella's not going because Ella is having a first birthday party for her granddaughter, which is beautiful. So I hope you have a lovely time. And yes, Mum will have a list of sewing things that I want. The next weekend we have the wonderful Edinburgh Yarn Fest. What's not to say about the Edinburgh Yarn Fest? Now don't panic if you have not got your advance ticket for the door. They will still be selling tickets if you turn up. And there is a frequently asked questions section on the Edinburgh Yarn Festival website. I heard from two separate people, one on my Ravelry group and one actual person who's going from up here, and she said that her daughter was going to get the tickets, but she was going to wait until payday, and when she went, they were sold out, the advance tickets. So she says, I don't know whether we're going to get in. And I says, oh, I don't know. Well, definitely ask Mika the question. Or, well, Mika and Joe. So I sent them a message and asked them, and Mika says, oh, definitely, don't worry. For people that have booked plane tickets or have missed out on their advance ticket or booked hotel rooms thinking, well, I'll get the ticket in a bit. But they have so much for advance, and then they have so many for on the door. And you might have to wait a little while to get in, first of all, because there's going to be a huge big queue of people with advance tickets anyway, but they have a side queue for on the door. And actually, from experience, the first year that was shorter than the advance tickets. And I had this on Wayne Brighton a few years ago as well. You think you're being dead smart, you get your advance ticket, and then you have to wait longer because the queue for you is so long because everybody else has got their ticket too. But if you are just paying on the door, you could just waltz straight in if there's two queues. It's just the way it happened. But there is so many people that the venue will be able to take, but what will happen is people will come in, and a lot of people go straight to a class, and some of the classes aren't on the property, so they'll go back out, and the people on the door, obviously for safety reasons, they can only have so many in the venue at the time, so they'll do their little bouncer ticker number, tickety-tick, tick-tock, and they'll be able to let people come in. So maybe if you wanted to just appear 11 o'clock or so, yeah, I don't think you're really going to miss out anything apart from the initial crush. And over the 2 days, you're bound to get in. But Mika said very, very unlikely that anybody would get turned away because of it being too busy, because people will be coming and going. And if you came just a bit later on, then everything should be hunky-dory. But isn't it wonderful that so many people want to go? And also, so many people wanted to go to the Cayley, it sold out within a minute, which I just think is absolutely astonishing. I was one of the very lucky ones, and I got my tickets, so I shall be having my dancing pumps into my little bag for the old Cayley. And hopefully I'll get a wee dance with some of you. I'm may lead, because I'm in old school at the old Cayley dancing. And hopefully the energy level will stay up for it, because it's quite a tiring escapade as the old Cayley dancing. But it's brilliant, and you will not be able to sit there without tapping your foot. And I just hope that when you come in to the Edinburgh Yarn Festival, you come and say hello. Except in the toilet. Can you wait until I'm out the toilet? I'm not so keen on talking to you when I'm in the toilet. This is more embarrassing for me than you, but yeah. Do come over and say hello, and you don't need to say much if it embarrasses you, because I think I'll struggle going up and saying, oh, I really think you're wonderful. I don't know what to say now. So your cue is, hello, how are you? And I don't really like doing this either. Okay, bye. Or something strange like that. You're probably much better at it than I am. But do make sure that you tell me who you are, and wait for the few seconds, if I've not met you before, in fact sometimes if I have met you before, to remember who you are, because there's a few more of you than there is of me, if you get my meaning. It's not that I don't know who you are, in fact sometimes I might, there might be a lurker, but it does take Louise's brain a little while to catch up, even if I have met you before. I'm just great. It's embarrassing. It really can be embarrassing. And I'm glad that Mum's not there, because I don't then have to introduce her to you not knowing your name. In fact, that's a code with Mum and I. If we don't know, or we can't remember who the person is, we don't introduce each other. It's just like, as we walk away, you didn't know who that was either, did you? Nah, not a clue. So, I wish I did. My dad had a brilliant memory for people's names and faces, and I don't. And especially if you're out of context. If I meet you in the supermarket, and I normally see you when you're either running or cycling or knitting, if you're in the supermarket, then you're not in this, the place you should be, and I don't know who you are. So, be very blunt about it. I wouldn't take offence. I don't think I will. And what else is with the Edinburgh Yarn Fest? We've got the Friday's more for the video podcasters, and Saturday is more for the audio podcasters in the meetup areas, mostly because of the they're going to have make a video cast or make a audio cast on Friday and Saturday respectively. If you're interested in doing it, you don't have to start a podcast, but you could be interested in finding out a little bit more about it. What I'll do is I'll write down the microphone and that make that I have, and also the recording information that I need to use, and we should be able to furnish it with you. I might take out my little book. Look, I have done some research. And then you get to go off and take a little 2-minute recording of how you think your Edinburgh Yarn Festival is. And then maybe you get the bug and you think, oh, this is wonderful, let's start a podcast. Because I'd say that there was plenty of room for more audio podcasts. Like I said last episode, there's so many accents around the British Isles. You are unique and you are your USP. So I'd say there's space out there for you. Video podcasters, there's lots of them. And I do like them, but I like to listen. I have said before about my broadband being restricted. Maybe if it wasn't, I might sort of get into the way of watching more, because I do like to see, and I really, really love Knitting Dish by Woolly Bear, because she, I don't know. I know her anyway, because I met her. So therefore, I know her very well. I met her once at a retreat. So it wasn't just like I went up to her in the street and said, I know who you are. But we were at the Knitting Pipeline retreat when I was in America. And I get her, I get her sense of humour, I get what she makes. She's quite a fast knitter, so she's got new stuff to talk about quite a bit. She's not published that many recently, but when she does, I do make a point of sitting down and watching it and just laugh, because she's funny. And I've been enjoying the Beardy Chill podcast, because he's from Thurso and I can relate to him as well. And so I've made a point of watching those. The audio podcasts, I listen all the time, because I can do other things whilst I'm doing listening to them. You can be on the bus, you can be in the car, you can be walking the dog, you can be out running. Obviously slightly lower so that you don't get hit by cars if you're on the main road. But if it's a podcast, I like listening to podcasts more when I'm running, because if you're listening to music, you could drown the car noise out, and I don't really want to get hit by a car. And when I'm sewing, I have two hands free and I can listen. And actually, it takes a little bit of a different skill to be a audio podcaster, because we have to describe things to you just using words. So, queen of the adjective here, sometimes more than others. But a video podcaster has got the advantage that they can say, look what I've made, look at the pattern on this, and they hold it up to the camera, and you instantly get the gratification. Whereas if I say, look what I made, I have to describe the colour to something that you're going to know about, I have to describe the pattern to relate to something that you can think of, and it can be a little bit of a step back. But I think that there's plenty of room for both of the medias, but I shall never do video podcasting, because it would mean me being on camera, and just no. So, and I have to have a very tidy house. So, no two. Yeah. With the talking, you can't see the mess. When I photograph things, I'm quite careful, or I try to be careful about the background of the mess. Do as I say, not as I do. So that is going to be quite an interesting couple of things at the Edinburgh Yarn Fest, amongst loads and loads of others. The Edinburgh Yarn Fest have been putting up who's going and what their wares are on their Facebook page. So I've been enjoying seeing that, because obviously I've been making my plan of action of where I'm going to go and what I'm going to get. And also the Blacker Podcal, it has a meetup, and you will be able to go along and we can show off what we are finished wearing. Or you can take your work in progress. And if you finish it, you are going to get 15% off the Blacker stand, which is an amazing amount. I'm probably getting in. More on that in a wee bit. Then the weekend after is Dornoch. They've got their wee wool fest going on, and it sounds quite interesting too. They've got it in the community centre and in the church again. I was at this a couple of years ago, and it's really nice not to have to go too far down the A9, and you can go and come back in a day. And if I wasn't going to Edinburgh, I'd be quite happy to go to this. Then later in the year is the Dingwall Wool Festival, and this is at the Dingwall Mart. I went to this a few years ago and met Louise Scully for the first time, but I felt like I knew her anyway. But and Kelly from Aviemore too, who looks amazing. She's lost a lot of weight recently. Amazing. So well done to you, Kelly. And this is the last weekend in May. Now, I know that there's going to be TG Frog. I nearly forgot there. And Tanya does the Dorset Buttons. Now, Tanya was at the Edinburgh Yarn Fest last year. She's going to be at the Edinburgh Yarn Fest this year, but her stand, I don't think she has one. I think it's just the workshop she's doing. And also, she's going to be at a few other events coming up. And she does Dorset Buttons. She was at my retreat last year, and oh, just beautiful, beautiful kits, ready-made kits. Just go find Tanya on your yarny travels this year. If you have a little bit of leftover yarn and you think, oh, I could do with a matching shawl pin for this beautiful shawl that I've made, well, you get a Dorset button. You use your leftovers, because sometimes you have just enough for a Dorset button, but not enough to do anything else with. And it matches your shawl. And when I saw that, I thought, that is so clever. So definitely look out Tanya on your yarny travels for Dorset buttons and everything Dorset button related. And then in Perth on the 10th of September, at the Dewar Centre, is going to be the Perth Wool Festival. So it's all kicking off in Scotland this year. I mean, I know there's Unravel and Wales and all the other ones, Cumbria, but I don't need to go south of the border. It's all in Scotland. Oh, I forgot to tell you at the start. We also have Swap. Lucky 7 Swap. Now, I have been podcasting now for 7 years in March. And I thought to celebrate this. It's a celebration because I'm still here. Wonderful. I thought we could have a Lucky 7 Swap. So if you wanted to sign up for it, you have to have 7 items, which celebrates my 7 years of podcasting. There'll be a sign up in the group Ravelry thread in Caithness Craft Collective group, and it doesn't need to be related to my podcasting career, just 7 was a cool number. And it's going to be no more than £37 and no less than £17, so you're going to have a really, really nice package, but it has to have 7 items in it. Now you can buy them, you can make them, you can find them, just whatever. You can stalk your swappie to see what colours they like and just use your imagination. So you can sign up by the 7th of March and post by the 27th of March. I just think that sounds quite good. And maybe I'll put up a wee prize of a tartan bag or something in there if you signed up, and then I'll do a random drawing and pick one of you swappy partners dudes, and you'll get something tartan in the post from me. Me section. Normally I have Sandy going to the beaker section. Me. Sandy was 11 yesterday. My bairn is getting big and tall and old and very chuffed with him just now. The beaker is because that's what Beaker says from The Muppets. And of course I'm a Muppet. I'm a Muppet of a man. We watched that the other day. And this past fortnight I haven't really been doing an awful lot of knitting. I carried on with my pussy hat, and I'm using African Expressions yarn and Aran, and it's in a sort of salmonish pink, and it knits, I was going to say it really knits fast, but I'm not finished it yet. But last week Richard and I went down to Perth firstly, it's work stuff, and we stopped in at Tissot's, and it had the most hugest of scones. Really, really nice staff in the cafe there, and they've got a creche area with soft play. It's a huge shop. Well, actually, no, it's not true. It's not any bigger than the Inverness one, I would say, the Tissot's, but it's just brilliant with the extra kiddies area, and the cafe's bigger. The scones are huge. Now, our normal Tissot's is the Inverness one, and the wee guy in there, he's from Argentina, and they make the bestest black pudding panini ever. I think you can get a haggis panini as well, but we make a point of going there. And he's really friendly, he remembers Richard every time. And of course you're in Tissot's, so you have to buy some sports stuff. So we went down then to Edinburgh to IKEA, and we went to the Giles Centre and we had our dinner at Frankie and Benny's, and we even went into Martin Spencer's and a perfume shop and Next and didn't fall out. I couldn't believe it. We even made it round Sports Direct the next day and didn't fall out. And then Richard got really hungry and had a big argument with me about whether he should go for diesel or not. We were doing so well. Shopping brings out the worst in us. But imagine going round IKEA and not arguing. So, yeah, we're human. But apologies to all you Edinburgh-based folk. I had friends as well saying, why aren't you coming to visit me? We basically went to IKEA and came away again because we were staying at his brother's in Perth, and then we came straight home the next day, full of belly bookcases and other bits and pieces and some fabric and as much stuff as I could get away with buying without it being on the list beforehand. Oh, there's scissors. I didn't get my baking tray, though. I was a bit, oh, darn it, I forgot the baking tray. And he says, well, it wasn't on the list. So he came straight home and made up some of these belly bookcases, and the children tidied everything up. So we spent quite a lot of time doing that. But where was I talking about? Halfway down the A9, I thought, I'll get my knitting out. And then I realised that I was nearly finished the ball of yarn for the pussy hat, and I thought, oh, right. And you knit 4.5 inches rib, then you knit up to 13 inches in stockinette, and then you knit another 4.5 inches rib. And I was nowhere near the 13 inches in stockinette, so I knew I needed 2 balls of this yarn, of which I do have, and it's fine. But I didn't have it in my little grab bag, so I had knitting and not enough yarn, so I put it back, and then it got dark and thought, well, I'm too tired anyway. And it was on the way home and I finally ran out. I wasn't even at Drumochter on the way north, but then I just had to survive until Inverness because I was driving for a bit of it north after the are you going for diesel? Well, I'm not driving. Why are you asking me this question? I'm sure you are. All your other halves are more pleasant than mine when it comes to being hangry. You know the feeling when you're angry and hungry at the same time. So I got home and I've attached the second ball of yarn, and I'm about 13 inches, and you do need to give it a proper measure, and then I'm going to start the rib and seam it up, and I should be finished it by next episode. Sadly, I won't have enough for two of these hats because I was going to make Daisy one, and well, not my mum. Mum doesn't wear hats, but she did like the colour of it. She remembered, she said, I like the colour of that, it's really nice. I said, oh, thank you. It's a nice feeling yarn. And it's got a lovely stitch definition on it too. So what I had been sitting and holding was my Newell cardigan by Cecily Clout MacDonald, and this is my blacker podcal piece, and I had got to split for the armholes, and you then have to start, because it says when you get to 8 inches you have to split for the armholes at the same time, you have to start increasing somewhere else. So obviously I can't tell you because it was in the pattern, it was a paper pattern. But I just sat and I thought, I'm too tired tonight. The next night I picked the bag up and I had the knitting on my lap, and I said, I'm too tired for this too. But I'm quite happy just sitting. And then I was at Textile Artist and Catherine said, sometimes you just get too tired to do any of the work I'm doing, but it's just a nice thing to have it on your knee. So yes, I'm petting the yarn, I'm loving the yarn, I'm at one with the yarn. So I've come into the end of that ball soon. I'll have to put another one into the bag so I'm not left out in the cold and tromocked our pass with no knitting. But I got past that two nights ago, and I've got to do increases and to get to 233 stitches. So we'll get there. Yeah, but I need to write down of the knit, like you have to do it every so often, you know, increasing stuff, blah blah blah. Oh look, geese. So actually what I've been thinking what I was going to do next, and I'm holding it here, is a travelling woman shawl or a Fireflies Rising shawl. And I have a Wandering Wool hand dyed yarn, and it's an Ausable sock, and this is merino, cashmere and nylon, and it's colour inkbot. Now I bought this in Washington DC, and I remember saying to Nora that I wanted black, and this was as black as we could get at the time, that was hand dyed and from local. So it's actually a navy blue. And you know, it breaks my heart just now, because normally I'd say, Quattro, come here, I'll check, see if this is a true black or not, because he was a true black and Buckle is orange. I've got black shoes on, and it's like very, very dark navy blue, wanting to be black, because I've got navy blue jeans on and it actually tones in beautifully. So reality, it will tone in wonderfully with what I'm wearing most of the time. And it is just stupendous, nice and soft, and it's cashmere. And what had been holding me up for doing anything was A, I've got to wind it, and B, I also bought beads that day, and beads I was going to give to my mum. Oh, shh, I don't know whether she listens. So she has an iPhone now. I've put her on Instagram now. So if you see Grandma Zed Mac come up, that's my mum. But I don't know if she's quite figured it out how to listen. So I had these beads, I gave her plenty of other stuff, so mum, you can have other beads but you're not getting these ones. Thank you, mummy. I have beads that will go beautifully with this. The patterns, either of them don't have beads in them, But I like the idea of having the beads in because I bought the yarn and the beads on the same day. And also, I was bought the Fireflies Rising shawl recently when I wasn't well. Thank you very, very much. And you know who you are. Bless you. And because I have the Fireflies bag from the lovely Gale of Nocturnal Knits, I thought, oh, maybe I should do that because I just was so amazed at these Fireflies coming up, and it's just one of the magical things about my holiday. But that's kind of the next project going to be coming up. And talking of shawls and things that match, I would like to say a huge thank you to Beast Chops, who is the very, very lovely Sarah, who was an absolute star in the Uncal last year, and she won some of the prizes, and she sent me a shawl that was made up. And do you know, I've not got written down which shawl it is, but I will put in the show notes. And she's used an old maiden aunt's, and it's sparkly, and she says it's what unicorns would have. And she didn't actually use them words, but you might be eating again. And it's beautiful. It's quite a short asymmetrical shawlette, and it's got a really nice zigzaggy lacy edge. And I asked her who wrote it, and she did tell me, and it's actually a free pattern. So it's just, I was so, so kind, and it was in a brown paper parcel all wrapped up with string. This is a few of my favourite things. Oh, it was just lovely. And I've had so many compliments on it, and it's just no fair because I didn't knit it. But a huge, huge thank you to you, Sarah. That was just really, really kind of you. If I say, oh, somebody sent me what yarn, and then I walked down and was, somebody's actually knitted me yarn, and then read the note, and then so thank you, and hopefully I'll get a cuddle with you at Edinburgh. Now, what I have been doing a lot of the past fortnight is sewing. I've made quite a few tartan bags for the Etsy shop, which has they've been selling out quite a lot, which is really good because it means that I can buy things for the podcast, such as saving up for this new microphone and buy a couple of books to talk to you and review, and yarn maybe to review, etc, etc. So it's just very, very kind of people when they buy stuff from me, but they get stuff back too, because I like that. And what I did as well on the front page of my Etsy shop is I've listed all the tartans that I have. And if you want one of them, just drop me a message either through Etsy or Ravelry or Facebook or email or Twitter or, well, probably not Pinterest. But just drop me a message and I will make it up for you, create a custom order and post it to you. Well, we'll tell you, discuss costs as well, that's only fair. And it's just been really good, so I've tried to keep on top of that. And also what has put me back a little bit is I'm trying to finish this jelly roll quilt for my special someone who has been through quite a hard time the past couple of weeks and possibly future to come, so they need to do a lot of recuperation. And it's in creams and beige because that's the colours that they like. And I bought it from Cotton Patch, and I just attached one jelly roll strip after another. And a jelly roll is, I think, 40, I'm going to say 40 strips of 2.5 inches wide fabric. And they're all different in the jelly roll I have. And they all correspond to a pack or colourway that the shop has. And I think Moda have the copyright on the jelly rolls, so they could also be called something exotic like Hawaiian strips. But I honestly can't remember. So if you see 2.5 strips wide pieces of fabric, and they're normally made into, it looks like a Danish pastry swirl, that's called a jelly roll. And it's quite an easy way to make a quilt. So I have plain matching cream cotton for the back. I attached them all, sewn them up, then sewn them back. Lots of pinning, lots of ironing. Try to be as precise as possible with these. And I made it so that it was just over a metre wide, and it was a metre and a bit long, so it's a little bit longer than it is wide, and the lines are all going down from her waist to her foot. And then I sandwiched it together, and it took me a wee while because I'm not very good at putting the three layers together and not getting creases underneath. And then I took it into quilters to ask Ella, who does the basting by hand, how she exactly did it. So she said that she takes it from one side to the other, and then she goes back again and then works on one quarter and then the other quarter, and always does it from the inside to the outside, so you keep pressing any creases out on the underside and on the top. And this, you can use safety pins, you can have a special gun that puts these little plastic things, basting gun I think it's called, and I have one. But on the last quilt I did, it gave a bit of a crease in the back and I didn't notice, and then it took me a bit to uncrease it. So I don't really like that anymore. So I was trying to do it with the thread, the old fashioned way. And well, it worked. And yeah, so then I quilted it, which is where you sew the three layers together. And I used my quilting foot. I used cream thread, top and bottom the same, and it was Aurifil 40, which I think there's a lot of words in this. 100% cotton, made in Italy. Aurifil Make On 40/2, but it's the green one. Aurifil work in different colours of their inside of their bobbins, and it's green. You do get orange as well, which I don't have any of. And it's okay. There was no creases in it. I then trimmed the edges, and this morning I've used the rest, well not the rest of it, I've still got a little drop left of the 2.5 inch strips, which is perfect for binding, and I've just attached them together, and now I'm going to iron them in half and then attach it around the quilt, and then I'll be able to undersew the binding and hopefully get this posted off as soon as possible. So this is another reason that I've not done a proper episode this week. Well, when I say a proper episode, it's not got the usual bits in between it. It's got me saying a few times and hopefully not sniffing. Well, there was the one sniff, but that was on purpose. You're not all going to be handing me a box of tissues next time you see you saying, "You hypocrite! You said you hated sniffing!" Oh yeah, see if you're going to do audio podcasts or even possibly video podcasting if you can help it. Please don't sniff. Please edit that out. Or any kind of sharp noises, because you can edit. Edit's wonderful. Just takes a bit of time, that's all. Right, so that was the sewing. And there was quite a lot of that. I've spent quite a lot of time on this chair. I've done the Etsy shop about what I've been making. Oh, hold on. Shoppy section. Currently in the shop, there is a Buchanan, a Red MacGregor, Fraser, and there is going to be a Hunter and a random red tartan, because I cut it out. I don't know what it is. Hopefully I'll be able to look through some tartans and see. So the Hunter and the random red will be in the shop very soon, and you can go get these at www.etsy.com/shop/Caithness Craft. If you can't find it, just send us a message on Twitter or something and I can give you the link. Oh, I forgot about Reading Corner? Well, it can have its own section this week. I've got an arrow in my notes, but never looked at it. Too carried away, we're talking about the sewing. I finished this morning Girl on a Train by Paula Hawkins, and of course everybody else here has probably read it, on the train even. And it's a thriller about somebody getting murdered, and this woman's part in it. Apart from that, I'm not going to tell you anymore. And it's a good read. I would recommend it. Doesn't take too long. I'm sure there's bits I could pick holes in the plot, but I thought it was pretty well written and quite a quick read, so I quite enjoyed that. To read, I've got Irvin Welsh's Skag Boys, and this is sort of in the same themes as Trainspotting. I read Trainspotting years and years and years ago when it first came out, along with The Acid House and the other one. And then recently Richard and I went to see T2 Trainspotting and thought it was really good. I thought it was a really, really good follow-up. I thought nobody else could do that but Danny Boyle. I didn't think it was exactly the same or as good as Trainspotting 1. It was not quite as grim. It's grim, and it certainly does not glorify drug taking in any way, shape or form. And if defy any of you to go watch Trainspotting or read the book and think, oh yeah, I'm going to go and try drugs now because it's just wonderful. No. You see, he reads it, writes it the way that it is just dire. But he does put, Danny Boyle does put a poppy soundtrack to it. So, I thought it was really good how they had the same actors. They were fortunate that they were all available. And my favourite character in the last one was Renton. And thinking that they were all brilliant in it. But this, T2, I thought it was all about Ewan Bremner's character, who is not Sick Boy. Oh, what's his name? Not Renton. Spud. I just think his acting in it is fantastic. And it was just, I mean, Ewan McGregor was good. Sick Boy's character, didn't do an awful lot. Begbie's character, Robert Carlyle, nails that type of character. And it's a type of personality that the four of these people, I'm sure a lot of you will know, and you might have grown up with. And of course it's Scottish. It's in a place that I knew very well. And a lot more of T2 was filmed in Edinburgh this time, as opposed to Trainspotting 1, where most of it was filmed in Glasgow. But it was written for Edinburgh, in Edinburgh, and we went to see a play in the assembly rooms in the festival for it before the film came out, and it was very much of its time. It was sort of an era in Edinburgh. So if you've seen Trainspotting 1, I would recommend seeing Trainspotting 2. I also went to see La La Land, which, if you like musicals and you fancy just an escape, I would recommend. Enjoyed that. Even Daisy liked that. Although she did say there was a bit too much kissy-kissy in it. Which made me laugh intensely. And last night, I took children to see Lego Batman for Sandy's birthday. And it was way funnier than I was expecting it to be. Now, I liked the Lego movie, but there was bits in it I was quite bored with. And everything was awesome. It was brilliant. But the Lego Batman, he's just got so many more references in it, which we were all laughing at. It wasn't just aimed at the adults. The kids were just getting into it too. So we enjoyed that too. So, hold on. You never heard that feeling of the throat now, did you? No. See, I would never made it that out. Yeah. Division music. Kind of the division. Blah, blah, blah section. So yeah, I managed to talk for 54 minutes without a script. Whoa, get me. So, you can contact me on Facebook as Caithness Craft. You can get me on Ravelry as Louise Hunt and Caithness Craft Collective Group there. The podcast is hosted at www.kathenscraftcollective.podbean.com. I'm on Twitter, Instagram, Pinterest as Kathenscraft. And also I'm going to put a shout out for Richard's triathlon podcast, which is Non-Vanilla Tri. And it's now on Podbean. It's been hosted there, but it's also, we finally figured out how to do, put it onto iTunes. He kept saying, "You're the expert." I'm saying, "I'm not an expert." When will he realise this? Then he realised I wasn't an expert because I hadn't read it properly. But it was years ago. It was 7 years ago when I fed me to iTunes the first time. So we got it done. And he's there now. Now, what I did edit out last episode was that we have a massive drams to come up. Before Christmas, Richard's boss gave us 6 wee taster drams and we did a tasting. Don't remember exactly when now, but it was in the school holidays before Christmas and New Year. I think the children were away that night, thankfully. And we had to taste the dram and figure out what it was. And I've got a lot of editing to do because it was a big episode. So I think what I'm going to do is edit it really hard and put it into 2 episodes. 1, the tasting, and 2, the big reveal. Or, well, I'll see how I get on. So that will be coming up along with more fun. Looking forward to Edinburgh. So we're going to have some good time music to fade us out. You've got to do the wiggle because, well, it wouldn't be the good time music if you didn't. So just look after yourselves. I hope you've got good health. My health is coming back now. I managed 3 runs this week and I didn't walk as much today. So hopefully all the editing's okay in this. There's no big funny noises. The sounding is okay. I will listen to a little bit before I put it in. And there's no drums to muck up anyway. But can't remember what I normally say, so keep on crafting. Yes, isn't it? 7 years, you think I know. So, good time. Ah, here we go. Yeah, you've got to do the wiggle. Especially you and the boss. Look like you need a pee. Right, toodle-pip.